coming soon to own on video and DVD.
In a world where one man has seen every movie, there's one woman who's seen hardly any. Together, this unlikely duo must review all the best films she's never seen. Starring Jack Spade as the hero we didn't ask for.
I'm gonna go take a shot in the mouth for this BP vest.
And Leanne Foster as the damsel who doesn't know shit.
If I open up a weird door, I'm like, oh, there's gonna be dead people in sperm.
Huntsville Home Video, now playing.
The following movie is rated R.
Your souped-up muscle car weaves in and out of traffic. You look at the package on the passenger seat of your car, and you look at the clock. 7:55. You have 5 minutes to drop this package off. You're weaving in and out of traffic, trying to get to the drop-off point in time. When flink, 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 three ninja stars hit the side of your car. What the hell? You look in your rearview mirror and you notice three ninjas on motorcycles creeping up. They're getting on you fast. You slam on the brakes. These ninjas slam into the back of your car thinking, ha ha ha, ninjas done. Oh, hell no. They're ninjas. They flipped over the car and now they're standing in front of you, swords drawn, ready to kick your ass. Little do these ninjas know, your car comes equipped with flamethrowers. You flip the switch, you light them up. Ha ha ha, you mutter, tempura ninja. You step on the gas, you burn right through those burning up ninjas. You got to get to the drop-off point. Clock is ticking. Time is running out. You see the drop-off point, you screech into the parking lot. You grab the package on the side of your car. You run in. You look at the clock. 7:01. Damn it. You're late. The dude behind the counter says, "Don't worry, dude. There's never any late fees at Huntsville Home Video."
What the hell just happened?
You wanted big dumb action.
Holy shit.
I'm gonna give you big dumb action.
That was big, it was dumb, and it was action packed.
Tempura ninja. I'm pretty proud of that one.
Okay. Look, I'm proud of it too. Here's what had me dumbfounded. I thought I watched the wrong movie this week, and I was very freaking confused. I was like, there were no ninjas in this week's viewing.
There was not.
Holy
however.
Holy crap. But there's ninjas when it comes to Huntsville Home Video.
There's always ninjas.
Holy crap.
As you're listening to this podcast right now, ninjas right behind you. You don't even know why. You know why?
Why?
Because they're ninjas.
They don't have a reason or a purpose.
No, you never see them. You never see them coming unless it's a big dumb action movie.
Holy shit, Jack. I can't even take it. I'm all riled up.
Get your
heart got to pumping.
Get your heart rate under control. So before we get to, go ahead.
No, I got nothing.
All right.
I got nothing after that. All right, we just need to move along.
All right. Tune in next week to Huntsville Home Video where Leanne will be back.
Right.
Heart
maybe.
Rate back to normal. So before we get into our big, dumb action movie today, we do have a piece of side business we have to conduct.
We do?
So as we record this, tomorrow you will be leaving Huntsville for Universal Studios.
I am leaving for Huntsville. I'm not leaving for Huntsville Home Video. Hold on. Retake. That's a movie term.
That's a blooper.
Did you hear that?
Save it for the blooper reel.
Save it. Yes, going to Universal Studios. I'm super excited. Well, I was supposed to go for Halloween Horror Nights because that's my jam. That's your jam.
I love Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah, but of course, that's canceled this year. So we're just going to do the park, which I never really have gotten to do before.
And that's why I brought this up. Mm-hmm. So within the park, you will be exposed to a lot of movies.
Yeah.
Some of which you may have never seen. So I want to run down the list.
Well, they have a Shrek ride. I've seen that one.
Okay, you've seen Shrek.
Yeah.
Transformers.
Yes. Well, the first one?
Okay.
The Shia LaBeouf one?
Yep.
Yep, seen that one.
Okay, nothing after that?
No.
Fair enough. You really just need to see the first one to understand the Transformers ride.
Right.
Best ride in the park, by the way.
Okay.
I've literally been on that ride maybe 75 times. Tear up every single time.
Wow.
Because I love Transformers.
Oh, I thought it was because you were a bitch, but go ahead.
Oh. Ouch. Look who got the heart rate down. Look who's back.
I got calm. See these hands? I'm calm.
Jiminy Christmas.
Heart rate went down. Snart came back up.
We're good. You're going to be on that ride, and you're going to know the spots. Like, right at the end, you're going to be just like, yep, that's where Jack Spade cried like a bitch. Yep, that's where he teared up. Transformers, really? This is the... Okay, whatever. let's see. We got the Transformers ride. There is a King Kong ride. Mm-hmm. Which of the King Kong movies have you seen, if any?
None.
Wow. Mm-mm. All right. We might have to give you a King Kong education here sometime soon.
I'll take it.
Let's see. Of course, the Harry Potter movies. Have you seen any of those?
Seen all of those.
All of those.
Yes.
Okay. You are going to love all of that Harry Potter shit.
Yeah.
We went, my wife loves Harry Potter. I'm indifferent on Harry Potter. And there's a section where you can make magic tricks happen with this specialized wand. And my wife was super excited and she couldn't get any of them to work.
Aww.
And then I took the wand. I'm like, let me try. And bibbidi bobbidi boo, or whatever bullshit they say in Harry Potter, I got these magic tricks to work, like just one after the other. And my wife got pissed. And I'm like, come along, muggle.
Oh, no.
And she's like, you don't even know what a muggle is. And I'm like, you're right. Let's go.
That's terrible.
So you'll love the Harry Potter. We've established that you've seen and love Jurassic Park.
Yeah, that's where I'm going to cry.
All right.
Because this is my first time really being in Universal, and then that's in Islands of Adventure.
Correct.
Never been to Islands of Adventure. So when I walk through those doors, Jack, the big gate, I'm going to lose it.
You're going to hear the music. You're going to get the goosebumps.
I'm going to literally cry. And when I... childhood will be complete.
Oh, it's so good. So good.
Yeah, so that's where I will bawl like a bitch.
And then you can be like, okay, I understand Jack's Transformer love.
I get Jack now.
Yeah.
I get it.
What about the Fast and the Furious movies? You ever seen those?
I've seen bits and pieces. I think I've seen the first one.
The only ones that matter are the ones with The Rock.
Really? He's not in the originals, is he?
No, he doesn't show up till like part four.
Really?
Yeah. Not a Fast and the Furious fan. Love Transformers, not a Fast and the Furious guy.
Yeah.
So I love dumb shit, but not all dumb shit. And there's a new Fast and the Furious ride. I haven't even been on that one yet. I haven't been to Universal in a while, so I haven't been on that ride. There's a Men in Black ride. Have you seen Men in Black?
No.
All right.
Mm-mm.
That's another one we're adding to the list. That's a fun ride, too. You get to...
That's what I've heard. You get to shoot, don't
you? Yeah.
Which means I will have the least amount of points.
You will be the
deadest. The least amount of aliens killed.
Yep. Alien's going to get you.
I'm done for.
Yep. All right. Let's see. What else is there? I know I'm missing some stuff.
They have all the Simpsons.
Oh, the Simpsons. Yeah, Springfield.
I've never watched the Simpsons show, but I've seen the Simpsons movie.
It seems fair.
Yeah. All the superhero stuff, of course, we've established. I've seen three Marvel movies.
Which won't set you off too bad, because Adventure Island is really about the comic books.
Okay.
So when you go on the Spider-Man ride, which is great, very similar to the Transformer
ride. It's the same pretty much vehicle, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
And you get basically comic book villains, not so much. Well, okay. Obviously the comic book villains are in the movies and stuff, but... Mm-hmm. It's more comic book based than it is MCU based.
Okay.
So you'll have that fun. And if you're lucky, you'll be there when the costumed actors show up as the Marvel characters, Doctor Doom being my favorite.
Ooh, okay. Mm-hmm. Will they be wearing masks over their masks?
Ooh, good call. I don't know. Maybe they won't even be there with COVID.
What a crazy time we live in.
Damn. So anyway, you will enjoy your time in Universal. I'm very excited for you to go and have fun and maybe learn about some new movies that you're about to see.
I'll take notes.
All right. Good deal.
Perfect.
So this week, we are talking about, you wanted a big, dumb action movie.
I did. Actually, wait. Can you wait a minute before we get started?
Okay.
Because I'm really famished. I need a snack.
She brought props that you can't see. That
maybe
I will laugh at anyway.
It's a carrot.
It is a carrot.
You want a carrot? I got a whole bag.
Oh, did you bring a carrot for me as well?
I did, but I didn't get time to wash them, so that's probably unsanitary. Let me just put that back.
Oh, we have now become a prop comic podcast. Way to go, Carrot Top.
Thank you.
Very, very fitting. A big, dumb action movie is what you wanted.
I did.
And we're going to get into that carrot joke in a minute. You wanted big dumb action. I hope I gave you big dumb action. Shoot 'em up is the movie we're talking about today. There are bigger action movies. There are dumber action movies. Mm-hmm. But I chose this one, because I wanted to watch it again. I love this movie. Also, this is a very specific kind of big dumb action movie that we will talk about quite a lot for many different reasons. Primarily, it's a gun driven.
Yes.
Big dumb action movie. You sound happy about that.
Dude, you delivered. You freaking delivered on this movie.
Did you love Shoot 'em Up?
dug it so much.
Hell yes.
I cheered on my couch the whole time this movie.
Awesome.
Just yelled out in glee. It was freaking fantastic.
I was, as I rewatched this movie, which I've seen many times, I think the last time I watched it was maybe, I don't know, like 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I rewatched it. And as I do with every movie that we've reviewed so far, I wonder how Leanne is going to react to it. I try to put myself into your head.
Right.
And
scary shit.
And at this point, we've now delivered on every single movie.
We have, which is super scary.
It is, because I'm waiting for the eventual letdown.
I know.
And that day is going to hurt. I thought today may have been it, but no.
No, it wasn't. You were wrong, my friend.
All right.
Yeah. No, it was fan-freaking-tastic.
So Shoot 'Em Up is a movie that is basically, I kind of view it as a revenge fantasy gun porn.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically just one action scene leading into another.
Right.
With the loosest of plot threads.
100%.
And some of the greatest punny one-liners.
Dude, Paul Giamatti's character? Holy crap. I could not get enough, by the way.
So good.
Mm-hmm.
So good. Everyone was so good in this movie.
Yeah.
Clive Owen, who I cannot think of all the Clive Owen movies I've seen. And most everything I've seen him in, he's, you know, very not like Mr. Smith in Shoot 'Em Up.
Mm-mm.
And the movie starts, it wastes no time.
No, it doesn't.
Starting this movie, camera opens. Here's Clive Owen sitting on a park bench or on a bus stop bench.
And you just get a close up of his face eating a freaking carrot.
Yep.
And it's like, and not like a baby carrot where you'd be holding those around in a bowl, just walking around. No, a full freaking carrot.
A big old man-sized carrot.
Man-sized carrot that, again, has not been washed.
Right.
Yeah, just munching away at the bus stop.
Yeah.
And then, as what normally happens when you're at the bus stop, here comes a lady in labor.
Just pregnant lady just walking across the camera.
Just walking across.
Yep.
No big deal. He turns, no big deal. And then we have this guy come in with a car and he's ready to shoot this lady.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But no, not today, because Mr. Smith's around.
Mr. Smith's around, acting very calmly.
Yes.
Like cool as a cucumber, cool as a carrot.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-mm. Move along.
Hey, you're the one that brought in the carrot.
That was way better than that carrot joke. Don't even act like it wasn't.
You're not wrong. So Clive Owen, Mr. Smith, he steps up to action.
Right, he wasn't going to.
Yep.
And then the guy pulled out a gun, and then Mr. Smith is like, oh God, I gotta save this bitch.
Yep.
Is what happened. So he follows him in there, and a gunfight ensues. She's in labor, and it's freaking amazing. The best part about that whole thing was I loved the oil slick slide when he shoots the tank and the oil comes out and he just slides underneath the truck or whatever it was. It's amazing.
You're really underselling it, because not only does a gunfight ensue,
right?
Like just magical gun shit starts to happen.
But what happened first was he used the freaking carrot to take out the guy, shoved it in his mouth, and then just punched it through the back of his head.
And then quipped.
Do you think that could happen?
And then quipped, eat your vegetables.
Yes.
And yes, I think that probably could happen in real life. Let's.
So would a carrot be your weapon of choice? If you were Mr. Smith and you had to pick a vegetable to help save the world, what vegetable would you pick? Would you stick with the carrot?
I think after having seen Shoot 'Em Up, I would stick with the carrot.
You think so?
Yeah, it's pointy.
Yeah.
Probably a little durable.
Right. You're not breaking this. Like if you go to, it broke. Maybe they fibbed a little bit in that movie. Maybe just a tad.
I think from the opening gunfight, you can tell that the physics of the real world are out the window.
No. That's not true.
The other thing that I love about, you know, not only is the gunplay amazing, not only are the quips amazing, but there are things within the course of the movie that just set off Mr. Smith. Like during the course of the gun battle, he comments on one of the gunman's ponytails.
I hate these 40-year-old jackoffs with ponytails.
Yeah.
It doesn't make you look younger
or cool. And then he shoots his ponytail off.
Yes. And then later in the movie, he gets mad at the guy who won't use his blinker to change lanes.
Yep.
And litters. Like, he gets so pissed off about it. It's great.
Gets mad at a woman for smacking her kid in
yes.
public and smacks her.
Uh-huh.
The movie really feels like it is just the writer and director, he was just putting in shit that infuriated him in the real world
mm-hmm.
and making amazing gunfights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love it. I love it.
The movie is written and directed by a gentleman named Michael Davis.
Mm-hmm.
He was just a big fan of a John Woo movie called Hard Boiled, which is an amazing movie. John Woo, I don't think you've ever seen any John Woo movies.
I've never heard of him.
Never heard the name.
I don't
My
think so.
God.
I don't think.
Have you seen, he did some American flicks. Have you ever seen Face Off with Nick Cage and John
Mm-mm.
Travolta?
No.
How about Mission Impossible 2?
No. Never seen a Mission Impossible movie.
Oh, my God.
Guess what? I've never seen a 007 movie either.
Whew. We have got our work cut out for us. So John Woo worked a lot with a dude named Chow Yun-fat.
Okay.
Made a movie called Hard Boiled, which is killer. The ending of that movie, probably one of the greatest action sequences ever put together. Very gunplay heavy. The characters are always dual wielding pistols or shotguns. They always got two guns,
mm-hmm.
right? And another big John Woo staple is doves. There's always doves coming. You'll have Chow Yun-fat just like bursting into a room, pop, 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 and then doves just appearing behind him. It is so magnificent.
That's amazing.
So amazing.
Okay, we'll put that on the list.
Adding to the list.
Write that down.
Hard Boiled and The Killer. The Killer is another great
okay.
one. So we're adding those to the list. And Michael Davis, huge fan of John Woo and Hard Boiled.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically wanted to make an entire movie that was basically the last half hour of Hard Boiled.
Okay.
And he absolutely did.
Okay.
Because once we get through the first gunfight, we essentially go to the next gunfight.
Right.
And then there's a little bit of plot and we go to the next gunfight.
It's so true.
So true.
It's so good.
And like you said, Paul Giamatti, a guy who doesn't often play a real shithead.
Right.
He does in some movies, but not often.
He did so good.
So good.
His first introduction, he comes in. So we've had this fight. She gives birth to the baby. Also, Smith shoots the umbilical cord, which was fantastic.
Right.
That whole scene's
like
great.
You do.
And Nirvana's Breed was a great song.
All of the soundtrack choices were
yeah,
great
it was
in this
super
movie.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm sure your favorite was Ace of Spades.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that whole scene was my favorite.
Yep.
It was my favorite. So Giamatti comes in and he's trying to shoot Mr. Smith. And Mike, your introduction to him is he's using one of his dying cohorts, one of his dying men, to aim his gun, and he's like, quit, you know, the guy's dying, and he's like, quit squirming, you're ruining my shot, and I'm like, oh, that's so good, it's such a good introduction, shoots the guy to keep him still, to try to shoot Smith.
And as the fight ends up on the roof of this building, Mr. Smith starts shooting out the neon letters of the factory or the building that they're in to eventually say, fuck you.
Yes, because it's Falk, what was it? Truck and Tool was the big neon
yep.
sign. That was the name of the place. And he shoots out the letters to do fuck you. They keep fighting. He jumps across the alley into the next building, and Giamatti realizes he's not going to get him, and he just turns and shoots out the L and Tool so that it says fuck you too. So good.
All of that, by the way, happened in the first 5 minutes of this movie.
Yes, we're in 5 minutes of this movie. That's
now,
how amazing.
Some movies you watch, and if they hit you in the face right up front with an action scene like that,
yeah.
it might be another 30, 40, 50 minutes before
mm-hmm.
you get another big action piece.
Right.
Maybe 3-4 minutes in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Just
yeah.
nonstop gunplay.
Right.
And Michael Davis, like I said, he was a huge fan of Hard Boiled. He didn't want the big explosions. That's why we don't get many of those. We don't get many. There is a small car chase, but not a huge one.
Mm-mm.
But he just wanted gunplay.
Right. There were no explosions in this movie.
Mm-mm.
But yet it feels like it was one of those just minute after minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, the fight scenes, the gunplay defy the laws of physics. There is no reality in play here. It's just a cool fucking action movie.
Yeah. Yeah. So they leave the building. They leave the top of the building. And Smith has the baby. He's just walking around with this freaking dumb baby. And
once again, our compassion for kids continues here on Huntsville Home Video.
It does. So let's see. They're walking and, oh, I love the bathroom scene where he's trying to, he sees this guy watching him. And he goes, he hides in this nasty ass, was it train station bathroom or bus station
bathroom?
Yeah,
it was a bus station.
And he's got the kid, he's standing on the toilet and he drops his gun in the toilet. And he's having to clean it before the guy gets there. And the gun won't fire, so they get into this fight. And then he uses the heater, the hand heater, to dry out the gun. So I guess that's what he was doing, dry out the gun to get the thing to fire, which was great.
Again, physics.
Physics.
Yeah.
Then he leaves with the baby, and then he goes to a house of ill repute. a lady of the night.
That's a nice way of saying whorehouse.
Whorehouse.
Whores.
Would you think is a church? I thought it was a church. I was very sold on the nun outfit until she turned around and realized that's not what's going on.
Yep.
So the reason why he goes there is because there is a lady of the night who specializes. She breastfeeds people, men, and lets them play around like they're a baby, which is a real thing.
That's
a real thing. There are shows about it.
I had a note to ask you. How did that one sit with you?
I can't stand it. I can't take it. Like, I'm sorry if you're into that and you're listening to this podcast, but I can't take it.
Everyone's got their something. Yeah, when Mr. Smith arrives at his favorite lady of the night, there's a dude, full-grown man, in a diaper, just suckling away.
Suckling away. Yep. No, I thought we'd never say that on this podcast. And then we did.
Well, like six episodes in.
Yeah.
Boom. Changing lives.
And he goes, bars closed, and he kicks him out.
There's got to be a name for that, and I didn't want to Google it.
Oh.
I think
it's like literally, like they call it like baby play or like kid play or something. Mm. Like, okay, so I watch really weird shows because I'm fascinated by this kind of stuff. Like, it's weird to me, but it's like My Strange Addiction and all that kind of stuff I'm all into, right?
Okay.
So some of these people are on that, and like you have like people who are addicted to like being a horse. Or like being a dog.
Wait, being a horse?
Yes. Oh, Jack, do you not know this is a thing?
No.
Oh my gosh. So there are people who literally like get leather and like, what do they call those things that they go in their mouth? I don't remember, but anyway.
Like a ball gag?
No. No, that horse.
Oh, you're talking about horses.
No, that horses put in their mat, and then they, like, run around like horses.
Like the horse version of a ball gag, okay.
Yeah.
We'll go with that.
I don't remember. But anyway, they, like, dress up like horses. They have, like, horse masks and stuff. And then they run around like in horse, you know, obstacle courses. And they call it like horsey play or something. And then they have, like, dogs. Then some people want to be babies.
We're doomed.
At the previous radio station I worked for, another side note, we had a guy that would call our rock station and a specific DJ, and he said he was into that, and he would want the afternoon girl to change his diaper.
Wow.
That's not a joke. That's really happened. He would call her all the time, be like, I just want you to change my diaper, and I'm into the blah, blah, blah. It was so weird.
Now, I have, speaking of radio, been in the game for quite some time.
Yeah.
And I don't doubt that statement one bit, because I have heard some wild, outlandish stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I have heard women, female on-air personalities tell me even more wild shit like
I
that.
Bet.
And I'm sure you have experienced your own fair share of creepiness.
A little bit, but not to that degree. I've been lucky.
All right, give it time.
There's something about odd dudes that like women in radio. Like, it's just weird. It's
everywhere
a weird
I've
thing.
Been. Yeah. Everywhere I've been, everywhere I've worked, every female on-air talent just attracts the weirdest dudes.
It's true.
Yeah. I mean, I've had one stalker in radio, which was fun.
Oh.
And I've also had, I love this story. So a woman called the radio station one night.
Mm-hmm.
And was like, hey, how are you? I'm like, oh, doing good. How are you? She's like, well, I had a really great time at the Creed concert. And I was like, cool, because Creed had played in town. This was obviously years ago.
Right.
Because Creed was a thing. And so I had a great time at the Creed concert. I'm like, oh, cool. Awesome. So did you have a good time? I was like, oh, I actually wasn't there. And I wasn't, because I wasn't in town for that particular concert. And she's like, what? This is Jack, right? I was like, yeah, who's this? And she said her name, and I was like, cool. No idea. Didn't ring any bells.
Right.
And she started to get a little flustered, a little like upset. Mm-hmm. And she's like, are you serious right now?
Oh.
I'm like, what's going on? She's like, is this your thing? I was like, is what my thing?
Right.
And so I had apparently hooked up with this girl at the Creed concert that I was never at.
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, wait a minute. What do I look like? And she's like, well, you're about 5'9", 5'10", sandy brown hair, mm-mm, clean. I'm like, no.
None of that is you.
None of that is true. And so as we started putting the pieces of the puzzle together, we established that she had hooked up with our promotions director, who told her he was me.
Oh, no.
And I, like, on the level of the totem pole at the radio station, I wasn't the morning guy. I wasn't right. I wasn't even the super popular one. So she was slumming it with me, a fake me.
But a fake you.
A fake you. She hooked up with our promotions director.
Ooh.
And fun epilogue to that story, gave him herpes.
Yes. Now that's the perfect ending to a perfect story.
Right?
Gave him herp.
Gave him the herp.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Man.
And then about a week after, because she was pissed, not at me anymore, mm-hmm, but now she was pissed at this dude. And I was like, well, he is going to be at this event on Thursday night. Feel free to come say hi. I will be there personally as well. This will be fun.
Of course you did.
And
you
so I'm out at the event and she meets me, and she kind of gave me the, hey, let's go home kind of vibe. And I'm like, nah.
No.
Like, you hooked up with fake me. I don't need you hooking up with real me. And it turns out I dodged that bullet.
Ooh, you did.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So throwing around your name. But see what it does? Threw around a cut rate radio guy's name because it happens.
Panties start dropping.
Yeah.
So we got babying dude just suckling on the tit.
Oh,
bars,
yeah,
closed.
That's right. Back to the suckling. We took a good detour. Now let's get back to the suckle.
Back on the road.
So he asks her to take care of the baby, to feed the baby, take care of the baby. She will not do it. You find out the reason why, the very traumatic reason why, later on in the movie. So he takes the baby and he leaves. And Paul Giamatti is it Giamatti or Giamani?
I think it's Giamatti.
Giamatti with a T, right? Okay, I feel like I've said it both ways in this podcast.
I don't think Paul's going to be listening to this podcast.
Okay, PG. How about PG?
Okay.
Does that make you mad?
On the odd chance that Paul Giamatti ever listens to this podcast,
probably shouldn't do
sir,
that.
I apologize that Leanne called you PG. I'm
How
sure.
About Paul?
Yeah, it's Paul.
Paul?
Paul's good?
Okay,
Paul.
So Paul.
He doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that would like people calling him PG.
No, maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't just call him by his first name either, but
Mr. Giamatti.
Mr. Giamatti. It's a T. It is a T. Yeah, it's Giamatti. Okay, so Giamatti, he's got like this sixth sense, which you find out later that he worked in the FBI. He was like a criminal profiler.
Yeah,
he was like a profiler. So he's very intuitive, and he goes, the baby needs to be fed. He has this realization, by the way, while he's holding on to the exposed teat of the dead mother.
Yep.
The mother gets shot. So really classy guy, really classing it up at the back of that car. You know what I'm saying? So he decides to look for every nursing prostitute in the city, and he finds... What was her name? In the captions, it said DQ.
Yeah.
But does it ever really say what her name was in the movie?
Not in the movie, but in the credits, she's Donna.
Donna.
Donna Quintano.
Okay. All right. So he ends up going to the House of Ill Repute to go question our suckling prostitute.
Played exquisitely by the very beautiful Monica Bellucci.
Yes. She's
love that woman.
Yeah. Yeah, she was gorgeous. And that accent, I get it.
That did things to me.
Right, okay. Well, I don't need to know that.
It didn't put me in a diaper wanting to be breastfed, but it did things.
Okay. I don't need to know that sitting across from you. I don't need to know that. So he starts questioning her on who Smith is, and she doesn't know. She's being honest. She's like, I have no idea. He starts shooting out the bottles of saved breast milk that's going to be used eventually.
Very villainous thing to do.
Very villainous. Ah, I shoot out your bottle. And then who comes in? Mr. Smith to save the day.
Boom.
Boom. And you find out, okay, do these exist? These guns with thumbprints? Are those a real thing?
I don't think so.
I don't think they are either, but is it not a brilliant idea? So the guns in the movie that are made in the movie that these guys have, you have to have your thumbprint of the owner on it in order to fire the gun, which is brilliant.
And there have been several other movies that have played a similar trope.
Well, I wouldn't know that.
I know. Because you're movie dumb. You're a very smart
movie dumb.
You're a very smart intellectual person in every other regard.
Oh, thank you.
But
lies.
You are movie dumb.
I am movie dumb.
But we're fixing that here at Huntsville Home Video.
I've gotten 5 points smarter already. Six. Yeah. So there, you know, all these dead guys are there, and Giamatti and Smith are having a standoff, and he's like, ha! You can't shoot me with that gun because you don't have the thumbprint. That's my best impression I can do. And so what does Smith have in his pocket? The hand of the owner of the gun. And he shoots Giamatti.
Great, great action sequence. Just taking place in a long hallway with a simple strobe effect going on.
With dead guys all around.
Dead dudes everywhere.
Yeah.
Great action
Giamatti's
piece.
Running. And Smith, that's the thing. And we mentioned this earlier. He never loses his cool. Smith
Ever.
Does. He's like, Giamatti's running at him. He's just trying to get the thumbprint to work. Never frazzled, never nothing. And then boom, right at the last second.
And when Paul Giamatti is running at Mr. Smith full clip, mm-hmm. he has the greatest psycho eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Like he looks like he is ready to just rip his throat out. Just pure crazy.
He's so perfect for this character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pops him a couple times. Mm-hmm. And we are on basically to the next action piece.
Yes, absolutely.
Because that's how this movie goes.
Exactly. So now you have three of them. Now you have Smith, the baby, and Donna?
DQ.
Donna. DQ, the prostitute. And
yes.
Their first stop is a pawn shop. No, they get the car.
They get the car.
They get the car because he's tired of walking. He's like, what car do you want? So they hotwire a car. That's when he gets mad at the guy who will not use his blinker. And then he throws out like a bag or something. And he's like, oh, like he's just so perturbed by that.
Just sideswipes his car.
Runs him into a light post. It was perfect.
Yep. I think we've all been there.
Oh,
We all want to do that.
I would rewind that scene just because I wanted to see it again.
Yeah.
Because I loved how infuriated he
again,
got.
Again, pure revenge fantasy. We all want to smack a person in public for hitting their kid. We all want to smack a bad driver. We just want to sideswipe them.
Yeah.
We want to be able to shoot guns like Mr. Smith.
Exactly.
I think that's all we want in this world.
That's all I would want.
Yeah.
That's how I want to go out. So he stops at a pawn shop. You find out he doesn't have $5,000. You find out he is not a rich man. And he's trying to buy bullets. He only gets like a half a pack or whatever. But the baby gets a bulletproof vest because DQ starts sucking off some dude behind a dumpster.
Hooker with a heart of gold.
Exactly. Yes. I love that character.
I love that she didn't, use her wiles in the form of like, just, I'm going to talk to this dude real seductively. Like, hey, could you maybe hook us up with a bulletproof vest, the baby? I'm going to go suck this dude off.
Right. Let me just go do this real quick. just hold on 1 second.
Let me go take a shot in the mouth for this BP vest.
Shot in the mouth. Oh, perfect. So gets him in a little bulletproof vest, and then they go back to his home. Where he's squatting, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Growing carrots.
He gets in there. First of all, he's got the rat. What was the rat's name? I wrote it down. What was it? Mickey? Mac? Mickey? Something like that. And he gets the rat to run through this contraption and open the door, which is brilliant.
Yep.
And he gets up to his place. You find out he grows carrots and probably some other vegetables up there.
That's how he shoots so well, because he's got great eyesight.
Exactly. That's what he said.
Yeah.
So they're up in the... They're up in the place. And then guess what? Paul Giamatti comes because he's got a sixth sense.
Because he figured it out.
Figured it out. He saw the smashed glass on the street. So he knew they probably broke into a car, smashed out a window. Then he sees the car at the pawn shop and he gets the address, I guess, from the check that he left. He left a check to try to buy the bullets
or
whatever.
He was doing super smart profiler shit.
Yeah, absolutely. And then he gets to the house, which is one of my favorite scenes.
The
for
best.
For one specific reason, mostly more than anything. So again, big gunfight ensues, right? He gets like 50 men and they're fighting and it's like, it's so epic.
The shoot 'em up lives up to its name.
Yes.
They shoot MFers up.
One of my favorite parts in that too is he's, there's like these rows of, filing cabinets, and he shoots one from the back, which opens up the door and it hits the guy in the head and knocks him out, and the baby giggles. Did you catch that?
Yep. Like,
I love when the baby giggles at that.
And the best part about that scene is Motorhead's Ace of Spades.
Yes. So Ace of Spades is playing, right? And there's big gunfights going, and they're dropping in from the roof. Right. So this guy comes in on a rope. He drops in. Smith gets him. And what does he do? He grabs onto the rope. And then the coolest freaking thing ever was he's spinning because they're running up the steps. Right. It's like an apartment building or something. Wasn't
uh-huh.
it? Yeah. So the guys are running up the steps to get to the top. He's coming down the rope, spinning and shooting his machine
yes.
gun at all the guys coming up the steps, which was fucking amazing.
Wasn't that just.
Oh, my gosh. I was literally on the couch like, yes! Just super, like, guttural. Yeah, it was so good. Oh, I loved it.
Realistically, Mr. Smith probably would have been shot and killed in the first 5 minutes of this movie.
100%.
In a real situation.
Yeah.
But in the confines of shoot 'em up, you're just spinning down a 100-foot stairwell.
Yeah.
Just capping fools in the face.
If you've never seen the movie, I hope you go watch this movie. But if you just look up that scene, it was just the most amazing thing from that movie to me.
So far in all the movies we've reviewed,
yeah.
I've introduced you to,
yeah.
is this your favorite?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Awesome.
This one's been my favorite out of the ones we've watched.
Nicely
I've loved
done,
all
Jack.
Of them.
Nicely done.
Yes. I mean, I've loved all of them, but this one was the greatest. So he goes down the rope, he shoots everybody, he runs out, and then one of my favorite Giamatti moments, he's like, oh my gosh, do we really suck?
Yes.
Do we really suck, or is that guy this good? But just the way he said it with just such bafflement was great.
When you occasionally get an actor of Paul Giamatti's caliber, and uh-huh. he's been in a lot of very dramatic movies,
yeah.
very art house movies. And then to get an actor of that caliber that will do a movie like this
mm-hmm.
and commit to it.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
You know, and like you said, he is perfect in this role.
I think he is. I don't think anybody could have done a better job than him.
Yeah,
I don't think.
He was great.
Yeah.
He played a perfect, foil for Mr. Smith, who's just a very dry, very cool, calm, collected customer who gets some good dry one-liners.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have that level of psycho that Paul Giamatti pulls out.
Yeah. Which also, we need to go back and say, even though he was shot by Smith, he had on a bulletproof vest.
Oh, correct.
So that's right. You think he died at the House of Ill Repute, but he did not.
Yeah, you know you're not taking Paul Giamatti out that early.
Right. No. So they leave the place, and then while they were there, again, the story pieces along so funny. It's just all the little elements that come into play. So how you figure out what's going on. They were switching channels while they were in the apartment, and they come across this metal band, and the baby stops crying. So Smith comes to the realization that the metal music is calming the baby, so the baby must have been around metal music when it was in the womb.
Very, very easy to piece that together.
Absolutely, yeah. 100%. So they decide that they're going to go to a metal club, which was near where the woman was running, to see if they can find some answers.
They basically took two and put another two together.
Yes.
And that's what they did.
Exactly.
They figured it out.
So I thought, also, when this guy, the owner of the club, I really thought it was Marilyn Manson.
Did you?
I did, because he's got on like this corset on, and he's tall, and the long black hair, and you couldn't really see his face, and I was like, oh my gosh, Marilyn Manson's in this movie? But it was not. It was some other guy. And one of the most gut-wrenching scenes ensues because DQ is trying to get answers. And what does she do? She pulls out his freaking piercing on his wiener.
Mm-hmm.
His wiener piercing is no longer on the wiener.
If you watch a movie and there is a character with multiple piercings that might have information, you should just assume that they're going to get pulled out of someplace uncomfortable.
Yes, and that was uncomfortable for me as well.
Yeah, it didn't really, wasn't a comfortable experience for myself.
No, I wouldn't think it would be.
Mm-mm. Didn't like it.
So they find out that some suit had rented out the apartment above the metal club. They DQ the baby and Smith go in there, and you find all these dead people and a bunch of sperm laying around.
Because, I mean, really, what else would you expect?
Right. Dead people and sperm. That's what, if I open up a weird door, I'm like, oh, there's going to be dead people and sperm in here.
How do you live your life?
I don't know.
Hey, it's in that door. What's that? What's in here? Dead people and sperm?
Guns, huh. Dead people and sperm. I'm pretty sure.
Man, you party harder than I gave you credit for.
I mean, just because I expect it doesn't mean I've ever encountered it. So I don't know how crazy I'm living, but
oh, fair.
I just, you know, that's just what I think's behind the door. So you realize that they basically had like a baby factory.
They were cranking out babies.
They're cranking out babies. They had these women and the dead girl with the baby is one of them that were pregnant. And the sperm is from one donor. So somebody's making babies in order to get bone marrow.
Which we find out later.
Yes.
Before
well, he says it's bone marrow blood. Because remember, they keep walking and it's like, it's bone marrow blood.
Oh, that's
so
right.
They
Yeah.
So somebody's sick and they need the bone marrow. And they say, what better way to get the bone marrow blood or whatever than from somebody who is a relative of you? So that's why they're making babies.
Yep.
Somebody's making babies in order to treat themselves with the bone marrow blood.
And now with this information, we end up back at the hideout. Where, again, they're trying to stay away, stay one step ahead of Paul Giamatti's Psycho. And we get one of my favorite shootouts. And you know, like, as soon as this shootout happens, you're going to get a good pun, a good one-liner when this one's over. So Smith and DQ and the kid, they all end up back at an apartment building. And as you do when you're high on emotions and adrenaline, you just start humping.
You just got, look, if you want to maintain your level of, shooting and everything, you just got to get some trim. There's another callback to a previous episode. You just got to get some trim.
Right. And if you can do that well in the midst of a shootout.
Oh, my God.
Even better.
It was insane.
I love how DQ is not, like, none of them are concerned that there are men breaking into this building.
No, she's definitely not concerned.
She does. I don't even think she realized what was going on.
I don't know that she did either.
She was getting it good.
She was.
Mr. Smith was delivering the good
Woo!
Stuff.
Yeah.
And while he's going to town, she's going to town. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just blasting these fools left and right.
Right. Such choreography in this movie. Can
Great.
We just applaud whoever came up with all that choreography?
Again, that was Michael Davis, the writer and director. He storyboarded all of this stuff.
Wow.
He put it together. He had the idea for years. Mm-hmm. And I like there. I forget why the movie got stalled. But there was a few reasons behind it, but he eventually, got it off the ground, got it going and just, storyboarded all the gunfights and then, put little tiny pieces of plot in the middle, I guess. Like, how do we get to the next action scene? Well, we'll have them go to this thing here and then shoot them up.
And then a bridge to the next shoot them up.
Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I imagine on set, instead of action, he just said, shoot them up. That's how that went.
Okay.
Fuck you. You brought a carrot.
And so they have this shootout, and then another great pun that Smith has after he shoots the last guy, and they finish because she's having a great time, is talk about shooting your load.
You knew it was coming.
I know.
But it had to be delivered.
It was so good the way he said
good.
It.
So good.
Oh, man.
And you got to think that after getting down like that, just regular boring old sex won't do it for you.
Right. Now they all have to have a minimum of a gunfight.
Yeah. Like after this movie, they would, hire people probably like, hey, I need you to try to kill these two people. Like, aren't you one of those people? Yeah, I just need you to try to do this. It's the only way we can get off.
The only way she can, have a good time.
Mm-hmm. Some chicks like to get choked. Mine likes to get shot at.
I can't. Oh, what weird things in this movie. So that happens. And another big piece of the plot, the next bridge to the next shoot 'em up.
Shoot 'em up.
Smith realizes that the guns are Hammerson guns. They're Hammerson brand guns that have not yet been released. They're like a new model that's not been released out to the public. So obviously that means that they're in on it.
Yep.
The Hammerson company is in on it.
Again, puts two and two together.
Of course.
Let's get to the next shoot 'em up.
Yes. So he hides DQ and the baby, Oliver, which they've named Oliver, in a tank in like a museum? Isn't it a museum?
Safest place in the world to be.
It will resist bombs and gunfire. Let's go in there. So he creates the diversion, spanking the Karen, who's spanking her kid.
Yep.
They hide out in the tank, and he goes to the Hammerson factory. And then, oh my gosh. The freaking shoot 'em up in that scene was amazing. But first you find out that Giamatti's got his guys looking into who Smith possibly is. And he thinks he's a black ops guy, was a good shooter, moved over from England, and was black ops, and finds out that his wife and kid were murdered. Or he's saying this story, but Smith never admits to anything, but you can tell.
You can tell this is what happens. Yeah,
absolutely. So that's why he's so good. He's trained, and he's lost his wife and son. So anyways, Giamatti's like baiting him, and all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose. He throws the carrot. He keeps eating the carrot. He throws a carrot as a distraction, which was priceless. And then he's got all these guns rigged up like a puppeteer,
which he has done in the span of 4 minutes.
Right, exactly. Again, physics. And he's got all these guns, stringed up and ready to go, so he can watch through the security cameras and he can move the guns how he needs to shoot all of the bad guys.
Just start picking them off as they come his way.
So amazing.
And then when he jams the carrot in the trigger of the gun
and throws the gun. So it's spinning around.
Like, never mind the fact you probably just shot yourself while you're throwing the gun.
Right.
It's so good. So good.
Oh, man, it was great. So he does that. He runs away. He goes back to the tank. And meanwhile, they don't have diapers for Oliver. They have newspapers. And while, again, here's the next crazy bridge, he goes to use the newspaper to be a diaper. And what does he see? An article about the senator.
Senator Rutledge. Talking about gun control.
Mm-hmm. And then he puts another two together.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I figured it out.
Aha.
Who's behind this? Because the senator is very strict on gun control, if he wins president, he's high up to probably be a Democratic president, then his gun control laws will highly affect Hammerson. So Hammerson is trying to kill the baby because the baby is the senator's. It was the senator's baby factory, and the senator's sick, and they don't want him to get cured because otherwise he'd probably be president and ruin their gun company.
Yep.
That's the story.
We have solved the mystery.
Also, how perfect was it that there was just shit all over the senator's face when he lifts up the newspaper because the baby had gone to the bathroom? It was hilarious.
Because politicians suck.
Right.
Doesn't matter the side.
There's always shit on their face.
Yep.
Right? Metaphor for life. Let's continue.
We once again get political on Huntsville Home Video.
Right.
So now we're on to an action sequence that is great, mm-hmm. and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if it had maybe another $1 million in the budget,
mm-hmm.
it would have been absolutely perfect.
Okay.
So we end up, Mr. Smith ends up on Senator Rutledge's plane.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be like, hey, what's going on? Like, why, you know?
Right. He calls his people and he says, hey, just tell him there's a man with a baby on the phone.
Yep.
And he gets a meeting with the senator.
Gets a meeting with the senator. Realizes very quickly this senator is in cahoots with the Hammerson people.
Because what happened
the
was...
The plot thickens. And it's already a very thin plot.
Right.
So it's not even that thick.
No. We went from soup to stew.
And I got shit for shoot 'em up.
You did. And then I uncovered that.
Turnabout is fair play,
man.
Leanne.
I mean, it makes sense, but it's stupid.
It's dumb as fuck.
Okay, well, I'm also fun stupid,
but,
too.
But well played.
Well played. So what happens is the senator is really trying to get this baby back so that he can live, right? Because he's really sick and he wants this baby so he can get the bone marrow blood and trans whatever it is. And so he's made a deal now with Hammerson and goes, hey, all right, if you allow me to get this baby and save my life, I will totally make sure that you're okay. I will not follow through with my policies, my platform, and you will not be affected.
So like every politician
again,
ever.
Yeah, more shit on his face.
Yeah. He says that he will let the gun control stuff slip,
yeah,
but he'll make up for it in other areas.
Mm-hmm.
Like a dick.
Like a big old freaking dick.
Mm.
Yeah. And how Smith realizes this was, again, here's another bridge. The dog hair on the senator's pants.
This is the German Shepherd.
The German Shepherd dog.
That Hammerson had.
That Hammerson owns.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's when Hammerson comes out and Carl, Paul Giamatti's character, comes out.
Carl, that was his name.
Carl Hertz.
Didn't bother to learn it.
he's just
good old PG to me.
So within this movie, you were basically watching that as like, man, Paul Giamatti is just killing people. He wasn't a character.
No.
That was just Paul Giamatti as himself.
That was Paul.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair. Actually, that would be an interesting way to rewatch that movie.
Right?
With just, oh, that's actually Paul Giamatti just shooting
him
at Clive Owen.
That's him in real life.
Yeah.
Also, Clive Owen's pretty much Mr. Smith now to me.
Yeah, okay.
In real life.
Fair enough. So we have a little skirmish with the Hammerson people, mm-hmm, with Mr. Smith, and he grabs a senator and grabs a parachute.
He does.
I wonder,
yeah,
what's going to happen now.
Ooh, ooh, oh, ho, ho. The plot thickens once again. he ends up killing the senator. He ends up killing him.
Now, like, oh, he first takes him hostage to get off the plane.
Yes.
He gets to the lower deck.
Mm-hmm.
And then just shoots him in the fucking head.
Yeah, strings him up in order to block the door that goes down,
yep,
to the lower hatch or whatever you call it. And he was like, your policy, you'll get the sympathy vote, or your policies will get the sympathy vote. That's how he pushes it to him. And the senator's like, okay, go ahead and kill me and let me have some dignity left.
Pop.
So, boom. Smith shoots him, grabs parachute, jumps out of the plane. And then guess what happens after he jumps out of the plane? Another freaking shoot 'em up gunfight ensues.
Shoot 'em up!
Shoot 'em up!
Not only does a shoot 'em up happen, a shoot 'em up in free fall happens.
In free fall happens, and everybody's going, and parachutes are people stuck in parachutes, and then that freaking the senator slimy guy falls into a helicopter,
yes,
blade. Ah, so good!
He gets helicoptered.
Woo! Just parts of him flying everywhere.
And again, great action sequence set to an AC/DC song.
Yes.
Which, if you're going to be skydiving and having a gunfight, you need AC/DC.
100%.
Again, another $1 million to the budget just to, mm-hmm, make the effects a little bit better.
Yeah.
Would have really put that over the top.
It was still awesome, though.
Still awesome.
Yeah.
Still awesome. Still great. The only time in the movie, though, where I was just a bit taken out of it because, mm-hmm, of the effects. Everything else,
yeah,
all the other practical shoot 'em up effects were great.
Mm-hmm.
But then the skydiving was a little bit off.
I get you.
Still great,
you,
though. Still, the concept, absolutely fascinating.
It
I love
was.
It.
And I loved also the scene after he finally lands with,
yeah,
all the dead bodies everywhere, just everybody around, and he's walking through this wasteland, whatever it is, just full of dead bodies. It was awesome.
Just strewn about.
Yeah. So he's hurt after this. This is finally the thing that gets him down a little bit. And he passes out in like some warehouse or something. And guess what happens?
Carl finds him.
Carl found him. Carl Giamatti found him.
Carl Giamatti found him.
And he gets taken back to Hammerson's lair.
Because every gun manufacturer has to have a lair.
Absolutely, they do. And it looks exactly like what I would feel a gun manufacturer's lair should look like.
All right.
I'm totally sold on it. It was perfect.
Fair. I didn't even put that together. I didn't even think about that. I guess I have not had any deep thoughts about what a gun manufacturer's inner sanctum would look like.
Well, as a lady who, you know, behind every door is dead people and sperm, I've given a lot of thought into what bad people's lairs would look like, and I just feel like this aesthetic was perfect.
I'm glad it gets your stamp of approval.
I liked how they decorated it.
There's a gun manufacturer listening right now. She's like, oh, she's not that far off.
She's not wrong, man. Yeah. Our throw pillars are, like, immaculate.
Yeah. Let me lead you to the gun and semen quarter.
No! So they've got him. Oh, first of all, okay, so Hammerson, can we talk about how Hammerson is totally just doing taxidermy on all his dead animals?
Oh, yeah.
On his dead damn dog?
In front of his live dog?
Right, the live dog is looking at him stitching up the previous German Shepherd.
Yeah.
Old Duchess is like, Duchess. Oh, shit, this is my future.
And he says to her, oh, don't worry, Duchess, this won't happen to you, not for a couple years anyway.
Terrible.
Is that another quality of all gun manufacturers in their layers?
Taxidermy?
Yeah.
100%.
They do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that shouldn't be a shocker to anyone. So Giamatti is there and he's like, I still want to know where the lady and the baby are. We need to end this. I want to know where the lady and baby are. And it proceeds. Whew, this was tough. When he's breaking the fingers, that was tough.
I had to look away. Finger break is a tough one. Yeah.
Yeah, finger break is a really tough one, so I had to look away.
Okay.
Yeah.
A little squeamish?
I was a little squeamish on that. I'm not going to lie.
Just
that was a lot.
Yeah.
Just something, and the sound and everything, like it was tough.
It was a tough one.
Yeah, yeah. I could take the carrot through the back of the mouth, no problem. The breaking of the fingers was a little bit much for me.
All right.
that's where my line is.
We've now established your limits. Breaking of the fingers.
Dead people, semen, no problem. Taxidermy dogs, not batting an eye.
Grown men in diapers just breastfeeding. Now, whatever. I watch that all the time.
Breaking fingers, we have a problem.
That's it. So he gets the fingers broke, but he still figures a way out of it because, as we've spent the last hour and 20 minutes establishing, he's a pretty crafty fella.
Absolutely. So Giamatti is really determined to torture him, and he brings out like a scalpel, and he goes to go for the eye, but what does Smith do? He headbutts the scalpel, gets it in his forehead, right?
Yep.
And then and headbutts Giamatti, and then proceeds to take his hand, stab it onto the scalpel. Follow this, everybody. Okay, boys and girls. He headbutt the scalpel. The scalpel is in his forehead, right? In the skin of his forehead. He then takes his hand, stabs it onto the scalpel, pulls out the scalpel, and then starts going ham on everybody. Just boom, 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 with a hand scalpel.
With a broken hand.
Just fingers all awry. They're all pointing in different directions and just freaking going to town.
Fingers all awry.
Fiber. And then, remember, he shoots his own blood. He, like, Spider-Mans his own freaking blood into Hammerson's face. And then somehow, doesn't he get he shoots him, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He gets a gun, and he, like, turns it. It gets Hammerson's gun and turns it and shoots him. And then says, like, how's that for the Second Amendment? Or how do you feel about the Second Amendment now or some shit? Oh, my God, it was great. So then the big fight ensues, and he tries to shoot Giamatti, but he can't get the aim
because his hand is broken.
Again,
he's fucked up. Yep, he's got his broken finger just jammed on the trigger, just all fucked up. And I love how they're both like Paul Giamatti and Clive Owen are just completely spent and they can barely get the guns up to shoot each other.
Yes, yes. So the fight continues into the living room of this house or whatever, wherever, you know, they're in the living room of the lair or the den of the lair. And with this next part, he can't shoot Giamatti, right? Because his fingers is fucked up. So he puts the gun or the bullets in his fingers, like in between his fingers,
yes.
And he sticks his hand in the freaking fireplace and the fire shoots off the bullets into Paul Giamatti. I can't take it.
So, big, dumb action.
Yes.
That is what you wanted.
I know.
And I fucking delivered.
You did. It was so amazing. Again, one of those moments where I howled on the couch. I howled. It was so good.
Also, there was an ongoing joke throughout the movie that we didn't touch on where at every action sequence that Paul Giamatti shows up to, he always gets a call from his wife.
He does.
Who we never see. He's always like, oh, I'm on my way to the plane now, honey. I'll be boarding in a minute. Or,
I'm on my way. I've had to extend my stay. I'll get this taken up. I think his kid's having a birthday. It's his 8-year-old son's having a birthday, and he keeps getting phone calls from his wife. So Giamatti gets shot with the finger bullets, and they have this standoff. And and then the other joke, the other thing where he's like, you know what I really hate? Like, he keeps saying that throughout the movie. You know what I really hate? He's always got something he really hates. And then he was like, I really hate like a pussy with a gun in his hands.
Yeah.
And then Giamatti's dying on the ground, and his wife calls. And what does his wife say?
She's out.
I'm fucking leaving your ass.
Yep.
Well, good, because he's dead. Now's perfect timing.
He doesn't have that much time to feel bad about it.
Right. But how can you imagine? First of all, you've gone through all this shit with Mr. Smith. Look at the ordeal you've had to go through. You're just trying to go to your kid's 8th birthday party. All this has ensued. And then right as you're dying, you've lost the fight. And right as you're dying, your wife leaves you. What a just jab.
That's an extra kick to the
was
nuts.
Was that not great?
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved that.
And then we kind of wrap it up with Mr. Smith staggering out.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to find DQ and Oliver, who have they've gotten out of the tank and they've hopped on a bus to go start a new life.
Yeah, because he said, I don't want to know where you are, because he was anticipating being caught.
Yep.
So he's like, don't tell me where you go. Get on the bus. So he gets bandaged up. He gets on the bus. He goes and he sits. He's at a Dairy Queen, wasn't it?
Yeah, like some sort of a diner.
Yeah. And he's sitting there, and guess who works there? Old DQ.
Aw, he found her.
He found her and Oliver, and they embrace. And then what happens?
Uh-oh.
A freaking robbery.
Shoot him up!
Mr. Smith in the right place, the wrong place at the right time. And these robbers come in, and Mr. Smith ends up, does he use his carrot with the gun to shoot? Isn't that what he does in this one? I can't remember.
No, this is the one where he knocks the one guy down, and so the one guy's dead, and he shoots the dead guy's arm so that his arm moves, that he can shoot him again.
That's right, causes the trigger
to shoot the other guy.
And he like hits the nerves to make the trigger, finger pull the trigger, which was so. Now, here we go. Instead of just shooting the other guy himself, the one with the gun, he shoots the dead guy and his nerves to figure out how to shoot. It's like he's like playing pool.
Yep.
He's like playing pool, essentially, with gunshots.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was great.
So we get one last little shoot him up, and then he points the gun at the camera. Smash cut to credits, set to the tune of Motley Crue's Kickstart My Heart.
Oh, yeah.
A song that always amps me the fuck up.
Yes.
When I spent years of my life working in bars as a club DJ, and I always had in a second CD player, always had Motley Crue's Kickstart My Heart ready to go. If a fight ever broke out, I would kill whatever song was playing and just... And it's a perfect fight soundtrack.
Oh my gosh, it is. That's brilliant.
If you're going to whoop some ass, do it to Kickstart My Heart. Do it to a song about overdosing on heroin.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's brilliant, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever get to do that?
Many times.
Okay.
Many times.
my favorite. That's my favorite piece, I think, of Jack Spade knowledge.
Right on.
It's so good. That's
right
so
on.
You, by the way. Yeah. First of all, just like, you two dumbasses are fighting.
One of my buddies who we always had walkie-talkies so we could communicate with the bouncers and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And every now and again, one of my good buddies would be like, get the crew ready.
Yes.
So good.
That's so great. That's my favorite.
I am so happy that you loved this movie.
I love this movie. Like I said earlier, it's my favorite one that we've ever done. I definitely give it a 5 out of 5 carrots.
5 out of 5 carrots.
Yes.
All right. I personally rate this movie a 4.5 shot out breast milk bottles out of 5.
Okay, we'll go with that one.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to give it 5, though, because it was excellent.
Perfect.
I'm
glad you dug it. When you watch action movies, not that I'm sure you've seen that many,
mm-hmm.
What type of action movie do you typically, like, what's your favorite action movie outside of now this one?
I love the John Wick movies.
Okay.
Which essentially are pretty much a big, dumb action movie.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much.
They're essentially shoot 'em up with better production value.
Yes, and that blue tint to everything. They're missing that blue tint to everything,
mm-hmm.
But yeah. Yeah.
So I am going to later on when we go action style again,
mm-hmm.
There is a movie, two movies actually called The Raid and Raid 2.
Okay.
Which are holy shit awesome. Like the best fight sequences that put John Wick to shame.
Really?
And the choreographers, the stunt teams, the action teams behind The Raid and Raid 2
mm-hmm.
were on the John Wick movies.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I love
In
this.
Fact, you've seen John Wick 3.
Yeah.
Remember near the end where there's the two hitmen that John Wick lets go
mm-hmm.
and he doesn't kill them?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the dudes from The Raid.
Okay, that's cool. See, I love stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Those guys are awesome. Like, as awesome as the gunplay is and shoot 'em up,
mm-hmm.
the hand-to-hand is way better in The Raid and 30 times as violent.
Okay, like, I'm in for The Raid then.
All right, cool.
I love it.
We're adding that to the future list.
Because I'll sit and watch John Wick and just be mesmerized. I'm like, this is more beautiful than ballet. Like,
right.
I just find it so amazing.
So the thing that, and this is a discussion for probably another podcast,
yeah.
But once upon a time when action stars were all like this big roided out, you know, He-Man dude,
mm-hmm.
They, you know, it was a lot of shoot 'em up, a lot of action explosion types.
Mm-hmm.
And then it more transitioned over the years into that very physical, you know, martial arts style that we saw in The Matrix, movies like that. Now John Wick. But you've got actors like Keanu Reeves, who's great at that physicality.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you put people who actually do that shit for everyday life, they're so much better than that. So when you can take those people and put them in their own movie,
yeah, yeah,
that's what you get with The Raid.
Okay.
So we will discuss that one on a later day. I might even just give you that one to watch, and then we'll just talk about it later.
Okay.
Because, like, if you're mesmerized by the John Wick
I
movies,
am, dude.
And if you had just countless holy shit moments with shoot 'em up,
mm-hmm.
You might want to have 911 on speed dial, because that heart might not be able to take it.
Won't be kickstarted.
Mm-mm. Nope. In fact, in The Raid 2, there's a fight sequence. Okay, here's a quick side note for things that I love in cinema. I love tracking shots. You know what a tracking shot is?
Not exactly.
It's a shot that never ends.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, you know, you start on like one person and the mm-hmm. camera keeps pulling back and there's no cuts.
Yes.
All right?
Right.
There is a prison yard fight scene in The Raid 2. That is basically one big tracking shot.
The talent that has to go into that to do a shot like that.
Oh.
Amazing.
Incredible.
Mind-blowing.
The pre-planning, the
mm-hmm.
the rehearsal,
right.
The, you know, if you fuck up at minute 29 of this 30-minute fight, you gotta do it all over again.
The whole thing all over again.
So good.
The timing has to be perfect. You're a second off, it messes everything up.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, you're gonna dig those flicks. I'm gonna have to get those to you. Any final closing thoughts on shoot 'em up?
Oh no. My final thoughts were I loved it. It was the perfect big dumb action movie. So I was super excited to watch this movie. And again, you killed it, Mr. Moderator Jack. You gave me enough gunfire, enough jizz. He's out. He's down. Your body threw itself.
I wasn't ready for
it. You weren't ready for it.
Oh.
Your body cast itself away. You just totally were done. Yes.
When you get a movie that comes out and you see the little blurbs from critics,
right.
You know, this was a nonstop action thrill ride. So-and-so from Variety, so-and-so from Hollywood Report. The latest episode of Huntsville Home Video. You gave me guns, you gave me jizz, Leanne Foster. Cut, print, check the gate.
Oh, God. Two thumbs up. Just the right amount of jizz.
I think,
man.
There's the intro.
Yeah. So those are my final remarks.
Guns and jizz. What more do you need?
I know.
So we should probably figure out what we're going to watch next.
I've already figured it out.
Ooh.
You keep giving me all these damn action movies.
Mm-hmm.
Mama Wants a Love Story.
Oh, shit.
Can you deliver?
Mm. Can I deliver?
Oh.
Did I just not?
You did.
I mean, come on.
You did.
Okay, Miss Snarky Pants.
Sure.
You want a love story. I will give you True Romance.
Mm.
Have you seen this film?
I've not seen True Romance.
Oh, my God.
It sounds lovely.
Yep.
Okay.
It absolutely is. In fact, so far throughout the course of this podcast, we haven't gone really into what I would consider my 10 favorite movies just yet. We've talked about Space Invaders, which is actually on my list, the 10 favorite movies. I just love that movie so fucking much. True Romance is a movie that's probably at number 4 or 5.
Really?
Maybe even a little bit higher depending on the day. Of movies that I love. True Romance is actually a movie written by a pre-fame Quentin Tarantino.
Really? I wouldn't imagine a love story would be in your top 10, much less your top 5.
Well, just wait till you see it.
Oh. Uh-oh. Okay. Oh, no. It's the shit's about to happen when you hear the
Oh, True Romance. So good. Such a great movie. We'll talk more about that next week.
All right.
On Huntsville Home Video. So thanks for checking us out. Thanks for coming around again. You should follow us on social media.
You should. We have all the socias.
Oh, my God.
All the Twitters.
I thought we were going to make
Facebooks.
It through one fucking podcast without the abbreves.
You give me this one because you said shoot 'em up.
Shoot 'em up.
You got that, this podcast. I get the abbreves.
All right, fine. Okay. Where can people find us on the socials?
I don't know. What are we, HSV Home Video? Something like that?
We should probably know our marketing plan. What platforms you can find us on.
We have to make them work for us, okay? We work for them, they work for us, right? Isn't that how that works?
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram,
yes.
At HSV Home Video.
Mm-hmm.
You can email us at hsvhomevideo@gmail.com. So if there is a movie that you think Leanne has not seen, and which there are many,
mm-hmm.
and maybe one that you'd like us to review in the future, you can hit us up there.
A critic's choice.
Yep, exactly. Critic's choice. You can also subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcast, on Spotify. We would love it. We would be humbled and honored.
Oh, God.
If you would. Fuck you. I'm being sincere here. I'm having a moment of sincerity.
Okay.
Let me just have this.
Okay. You can have it. I'm done.
So if you would, for just mere pennies a day. In fact, for no pennies a day.
In the arms of an angel.
Subscribe to Huntsville Home Video. At Apple Podcast. At Spotify.
Yeah.
Keep it going. I'm not done yet.
I don't know all the words.
We better stop before we get tagged for a copyright infringement. So yeah.
That did not resemble music, so I think we're okay.
Fair. Neither does Sarah McLachlan.
Oh, shit.
Snap.
Shots fired. Shoot them up.
Shoot them up. And on that note, be kind and rewind.